Good to see you today. Good to see you today. Good place to be. Good place to be. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. Good place to be. Best place to be. Worshiping the Lord. You all know the story of Helen Keller. Helen Keller was had a natural, regular birth, a normal birth, but 19 months into her life, she developed a fever, and that fever took her sight and also took her ability to hear. So 19 months, and she was deaf and blind. Would have lived a very terrible life, especially in those days, because there weren't very many services, you know, available for somebody with those situations. But this a teacher named Ann Sullivan came and taught her how to communicate, and taught her how to talk, and taught her how to read and write. It's an amazing feat for somebody who is not only blind but also deaf. But she taught her all that, and it's so famous, the movie was made about it, and I think more than one movie was made about it, to talk about how she became a high school graduate, which is astounding, and then she also graduated Radcliffe College back east. And so it's an amazing story about what somebody can do to overcome a handicap. What's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is that she had a choice. She could live, I can live an easy life, kind of just cruising now, you know. I can communicate, I can, you know, I can earn a living, and you know, I could just live the life I want. But she made a commitment. She made a commitment, says, I'm going to help those who are blind and those who are deaf. I'm going to help them. So she went and started doing things to help those who were deaf and blind. She realized early in her attempts that there were no setup to help those kinds of people. There are no social services put in place and to help people. And she realized, if they can help me, they can be helped. If I can be helped, they can be helped. She went before state legislatures. She went before the national, federal legislature. She even got so prominent that she went to international seminars in different countries and to advocate for people who were deaf and blind, for services that funds would be put out and that there'd be programs for those who were deaf and blind. Winston Churchill, who led Britain through the Second World War, said of her, she's the greatest woman of our age. The greatest woman of our age. Why is that? Because she decided not to just sit back, but to serve the needs of others. And she had a particular burden for those who had the handicaps that she grew up with. And she did marvelous things. Our nation has changed. Our nation is different because she reached out, talked to the legislators, talked to states. She eventually went to more than 30 countries teaching, talking about, you know, what could be done and for countries to provide services for those who are deaf and blind. All in. All in. Our topic today is the characteristics of the person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, who's all in. And that characteristic is that he and she are sent. They're sent. We're not blessed just for our own selves, but we're blessed in order to bless others. Let's read the scripture, shall we? I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I take my text from the first six verses. Luke chapter 9, 1 to 6. Jesus did an unusual thing. He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, and he's talking about the 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. Verse 6. So they went out from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Let's look at this. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. Let's take a note of this. He equipped them to go out. This is a radical departure from the usual practice up to this time. In the Old Testament, as we read through the Old Testament, I think we've mentioned this before, in the Old Testament, when God put his anointing on someone, he put it on an individual. If the country needed rescue, he would call a certain person, says, I want you to lead this country to save it. And so single individuals were called out in power to lead the people. And so we hear the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We hear about Moses, who was specially called. Joshua was specially called to lead the people back into the promised land. We hear the judges like Deborah and Gideon, who had a special anointing. And because of their presence, God was able to do marvelous and wonderful things. The priests and kings like David and Solomon, they just did marvelous things. Prophets. But each one of those, as you read through the Old Testament, we call it the Old Testament, you see that individuals rose up. Joseph rose up. We see that, you know, the prophets rose up, but it was individual. And they called the people to worship. And marvelous and miraculous things were done through these people's hands. It was fantastic. With God's anointing, they were empowered, they had miraculous ability, they called the nation to trust in God. What was the requirement of the people in the Old Testament? What was the requirement of the people who were under the leadership? Well, as we read through the Old Testament, as we read through Deuteronomy, what God called the people, the main thing God wanted of the people was for them to be faithful. Follow me. Follow God. Keep your hearts to God. Trust in him. Follow, and then follow the anointed leader. That was the main thing he wanted of the people, to follow him. Worship God only. Don't worship any idols. Trust him for the battles, for the famine, etc. In essence, beloved, they were supposed to be sheep. They were supposed to be sheep. Do what the leader says. Go where the leader leads and be provided for. Mainly, stay in the fold. Don't wander off. Don't get lost. And when it's come your time, yeah, give your milk and give your wool, but stay in the fold. Be faithful. Be sheep. It's kind of like we treat our pets. How many of us have a pet? Yeah, it's kind of like we treat our pets. We tell them where to go. We tell them when to go. We tell them what to eat. We tell them what to drink. We tell them how to behave, and we chastise them if they don't behave correctly. We clean up after them. We take care of them. We even tell them when to eliminate. Okay, let's go out. Now's the time. We don't ask them to cook. We don't ask them to clean the house. We don't ask them to pay the bills. They're not our equals, are they? They're our pets. And that's how the followers of God, sort of like, lived in the Old Testament. They just stayed in the fold. Be faithful. The best thing about a pet is that they're faithful and their companions. And they get all excited when we come home. And they jump all over us when we come home. We don't get that from many humans, you know what I mean? But when we go, most pets, well, except your dog, okay, most pets, they're all excited when you come home. Oh, it feels good. Only the designated spiritual leader was given a greater task. As a shepherd, lead the people, guide the sheep. But we see a change here in the New Testament. It's a significant change. Here, early in his ministry, Jesus calls them not only to be faithful to God, but also to do the things that God did. And it wasn't just an individual, it was all of them, all 12. He called them not only to be faithful to God, but go out there and cure diseases. I'm going to anoint you and give you the power to cure diseases, to drive out demons and share the message of Christ. Jesus empowered the disciples to serve. He says, you're no longer a sheep. You're a shepherd. Go out and do some good. An anointing of God was given to a group of people, not just an individual. To all the followers of Jesus later on in Acts chapter 1, he said, you shall all receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, every one of you. No longer a sheep to be a possession, no longer a commodity, but co-workers who are on mission, who are sent out by the shepherd, by the great shepherd. No longer a pet with low expectation. Imagine if you went home to your pet today and says, you know, I want you to help pay the bills. That's in essence what Jesus was doing. I want you to go out and do some good for the kingdom. For the kingdom. What did Jesus say to Peter in John chapter 21? After his resurrection, he comes on a boat. Peter sees him in the distance on the boat and realizes Jesus. He swims back to the shore, and then Jesus asks him three questions. And then he gives him three responses. What did Jesus tell Peter? If it had been me, all right, you got to deal with the fact that you betrayed me, you left me for good, you left me out there standing up by myself, and you denied me. Okay, now what are you going to do about that? I expect to hear an apology out of you. I expect to hear some penance out of you. And, you know, you need to be confronted about this. That's not what he said, was it? He said what? Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. He didn't chastise them. He didn't tell them, you know, yeah, you're not good enough to be my shepherd. Look what you did. He gave him a calling to go way beyond himself. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my people. Peter at that moment became a sent one. One who was sent. He wants us to more than followers who just want to be taken care of. See, if we're followers who just want to be taken care of, we might as well be a pet. It's a cushy life. They don't have to worry about screaming bosses. And they don't have to worry about bills being paid on time. They just wait to be fed and wait to go outside to lemonade. I'm using the nice words for lemonade, okay? And they can sleep all day and play around when we're gone. Because the owner is going to provide everything. And a lot of times we treat God like that. Oh, that's all we want to do is just be taken care of. And so we act like pets. But God wants more for us. You're not a sheep. You're not a pet. You're a servant of Jesus Christ, an ambassador for him. And I want you to go out and do something. I want you to cure diseases. What? Me cure diseases? Yes, the anointing of God can be upon you to cure diseases. And when he calls them, he says, okay, guys, I want you to come. Because I remember it early? You are a fisher of fish. I want you to be a fisher of men. From very early, he called them to be a sent one. All in followers of Jesus Christ accept Jesus' calling on their lives. We discard the sheepskin and become shepherds. You know, it's possible that when we pray, things can happen. When we call on God, things can happen. When we step out and share Jesus Christ with someone else, God can touch that person's life. It's also possible. We pray for healing. It doesn't happen every time, but God may choose to heal because we pray a person's illness. We serve in different ministries in our church. And because of that, things happen. Because the anointing of God is upon us too. You heard some of the testimonies last week during the testimony service. Thank you to Venice Church for you welcomed me, or you helped me, or you were a welcoming community for me. Just by your hospitality, people feel welcome. You know, people out in the world desperately need to know that they're loved and welcomed. And when you even simply do that, greet somebody, remember their name, call them up when they're sick. There's an anointing on us that goes through the telephone lines or goes over the wireless now to that person and says, somebody cares about you. And that anointing amplifies that thought. It makes a difference in their lives. God calls us to be sent one. And secondly, now that there were shepherds, what were they supposed to do? Luke 2 sent them out to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And they were essentially to do what Jesus did. That's what he did when you read the gospels. It's incredible. In the Old Testament, the regular person didn't go out. They stayed home. They stayed home. Because they didn't have any particular anointing. They didn't have any particular calling. They didn't have any particular ability. The only calling on them was to be faithful. Occasionally, when the need arrived, okay, we need somebody to fight. Come on, let's go fight. Okay, I'll help you fight. But we never saw them go to neighboring countries and tell people about God. Never. The practice in the Old Testament was to avoid our neighbors. Stay away from them. Stay in Israel, because don't go over there, because there's pagans out there. And they might make you dirty and unclean. The only time they went to neighboring nations was because it was a famine in their country, or because they were exiled. They were forced to leave. They were under duress. Even in war, usually they fought because the nation invaded them. Beloved, there were no missionaries in the Old Testament. And yet God said, I want you to be blessed so you can be a blessing to all peoples. But there were no missionaries in the Old Testament. None voluntarily. Even Moses, he didn't voluntarily leave Egypt. None voluntarily left their homes and homeland and shared the message of God to other peoples or other nations. But here in the New Testament, because of Jesus, he's now entrusting the message of Christ to his followers, and he sent them out. The early Christian church still believed in the Old Testament way. For a long time, the Bible was written in what language? Latin. Who could read Latin? Anybody here read Latin? You read Latin? Oh my goodness. There's always one, you know what I mean? Well, nobody could read Latin except the priests. And so since the priests were the only educated ones, they had to tell the ignorant ones what God said. There's nobody could read the Bible, because only the priests were the anointed ones. Well, you know, it was an enormous controversy when the Bible started to be written in the language of the people, French or German or English, Spanish. And there was almost a revolt against the people who would want to do that. Read the story of the life of Wycliffe, W-Y-C-L-I-F-F, and how much resistance he got when he said, hey, let's print the Bible instead of printing them all in Latin, let's print the Bible in German, let's print the Bible in French, let's print the Bible in English, let's print the Bible in... You can almost hear all the people say, that's sacrilegious. We've never done that way. That breaks tradition. Same thing with Jesus. I'm giving you the authority and the power. We can hear the religious authorities going, oh, man, can you trust these people with your authority and your power? They're going to abuse it. They're going to misuse it. They don't know what to do with that. And then he sent them out. Missionary. Because when he sent them out, you should be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, where else? Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world. The missionary movement was formed right there. That's why they were called apostles. Somebody asked him, why are they called apostles? Well, the word sent in the Greek language is apostello. Apostello, apostle. Gee, that's pretty close. Well, that's exactly where apostle came from. It's from apostello. And apostle simply means a sent person. A person who was sent. And he gave that not only to the 12, but he gives it to all his followers to be apostles. Not necessarily the spiritual gift of apostleship, but he gave that calling to each one of us. Beloved, sheep are not sent out. Sheep are led out. Pets, when they get out of the yard, we worry about them. Who's feeding them? Who's providing them? What happened to them? Who's protecting them? Who's taking care of them? So we keep them closed and we lock them in our houses or in our yards so they don't get away. Sheep can't take care of themselves. Sheep can't defend themselves. Sheep can't even hardly feed themselves. But we're not called to be sheep. We're called to be shepherds. Sent ones to go out. Shepherds are sent out. Some of us are sent out to our neighbors. Some of us are sent out to our co-workers. Some of us are sent out to other countries. But we're all sent out. Let's pull out a couple of life-changing principles here. Tradition-breaking principles, life-changing principles. What are the characteristics of the people who are all in? First of all the followers of Jesus Christ are offered and challenged to accept the anointing and calling of God. To accept that. Can you imagine the privilege it is? The privilege it is to have the anointing of God. It's an enormous privilege that we could actually pray and someone would be healed. That we should actually witness someone and they would open their heart to Christ. That we can actually do good for someone and they say, I see Jesus in you. And I'm turning to Christ because of that. When we accept that anointing, we accept God's mission and plans for our lives. More than just having the gift of miracles or the gift of prophecy or something like that. He gives it to the whole body. I want you to go out and do good in my name. And in order to accomplish that, I'm going to give you the anointing and the authority to share the word of Jesus with other people. And when we accept the anointing, we put down our sheepskin and we raise our staff, symbol of the shepherd. We're shepherds, folks. Shepherds. Cure diseases. Sometimes we cure diseases miraculously. Sometimes by daily ministering to a person who is ill in the name of Jesus. We drive out demons. Sometimes by direct confrontation with the demon, but also in daily prayer for the Holy Spirit to push back the powers of darkness. Sometimes by a personal rejection of the temptation to go into sin. Sometimes by the prayer, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. That's why Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, it doesn't say, and for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to stay in the fold. It doesn't say that, does it? It says to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Second life-changing principle, Jesus wants us to go out and share the message of Christ. He wants us to go out and share the message of Christ with people outside of our immediate groups. With our groups, but outside of our groups as well. Some of us are called to go to other countries and other people groups. That's when we call them missionaries. All of us have been sent. But all of us have been sent to tell people about Jesus. Would we want to remain a pet? It's a safe life. Easy life. Life of no responsibility. Life of play. But do we want to just be taken care of, told where to go, when to come back in? And all we have to do is be loyal and provide companionship. Or do we want to be a sent one? somebody who makes a difference in this world. Let me tell you, beloved, as we well know, this world needs people who bring the light of Christ out to the dark places. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? If we're a pet, we tell them, oh, someone else is going to do that. I'm going to stay in the fold. If we're a sent one, we're going to say, I'm going to go there and do that. That's why Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel of God's grace. There's a woman named Lisa Fenn, F-E-N-N. You may have known her or seen her, but she was employed by ESPN. And she was the director of special features, the producer of special features. And it was her job to go out for ESPN, find these very human, touching human interest stories, and then film it and then put it onto ESPN. And it's not just the, you know, the weekly regular programming, but find these special, unique human interest stories. She found about this guy who was a high school wrestler in Cleveland at Lincoln West High School. His name was D'Artagnan Crockett. Now, D'Artagnan Crockett was a top wrestler. He wrestled in several weight class categories and was just a excellent, constantly winning matches in different weight class. And if you've ever wrestled, which I did when I was in high school, it's really hard to jump a different weight class and then win in that class. But he did. He was an excellent wrestler. The unique thing about him was that he was almost blind. He was legally blind, and he was homeless. He didn't have a home to go home to, yet he was a leading wrestler in the state. And he would subsist mainly on bruised apples that were passed out at school. And what else was it? The mozzarella sticks that were passed out at school. That's mainly what he ate. And he could still be a top wrestler. She went to talk with him, and lo and behold, perched on his back during the interview, as they were standing there, perched on his back was one of his fellow wrestlers. I got his name here. Leroy Sutton. And the reason he was on his back is because Leroy, who was also a wrestler, had been in an accident and both his legs were removed. And so he carried Leroy on his back through school. And then they both wrestled in the wrestling team. And they thought, what a story is this? So for 5 months, she followed those two guys around. Saw how they lived, what they needed. And as she put together the documentary to show on ESPN, she prayed. She said, Lord, raise somebody up to help these boys. Raise somebody up. Afterwards, after the documentary aired, she got thousands of responses from people all over the nation. She answered every email herself, personally. She took in donations, even though she didn't really ask for it. She took in donations, got help for them in terms of something for Leroy to walk and, you know, all kinds of different things. He got speaking invitations. He got college invitations. He was the first one in his family to graduate from high school. And the first one in his family to graduate from college. And she also, in terms of helping him get through all of that, made sure that he got fed 3 times a day. She ministered to him. In 2010, he was accepted at the Olympic Training Center for the 2012 Paralympic team in London, England, and competed and won the bronze medal in international competition in wrestling. His comment was, things like this don't happen to kids like me. And he blubbered that out through tears. One day, Lisa got a call from the office of an eye doctor. It was the office administrator. And the office administrator told her, says, you know, Lisa, I've been looking at this consent form from D'Artagnan Crockett. And it lists you as the one who has access to his records if needed. And she said, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I can do that. He says, but I wanted to tell you more. He says, when the on the line that says relationship to patient, he wrote guardian angel. She was a sent one. Changed somebody's life. Changed somebody's life. We're sent ones, folks. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege you give us, the dear privilege you give us to serve you, and to be your anointed, sent out ones. And Father, Venice Church made a commitment to be all in. And so, Father, we receive your calling. We receive your anointing. We receive your blessings and favor so that we might go make a difference in someone else's life. Thank you in Jesus' name.